Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Hey. Amplified too. That's terrific. There was a man that was on his deathbed. So he called for two people he wanted to be with him. He said, I want you to call the IRS agent and an attorney to be with me. So the two men came through the door and they said, sir, we feel very honored that you called us to be with you on your deathbed. And he said, yes, I want one of you on one side and one on the other. And they said, well, we feel very honored, but why did you call us? He said, well, I wanted to be just like my Lord Jesus, who died between two thieves. Sorry if you're an attorney or an IRS agent here today. All right. Well, you can go ahead and pop up the... There it is. Well, you know, in church, now, not this church, of course, but churches I've been in the past, I've often heard prayers like this. Lord, we're so unworthy. Just let us eat the crumbs off that fall off the table. We don't deserve any of your blessings. Just build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. But just imagine you calling your kids to the table and they talk like that. Here you got a large meal prepared for them. Kids come to the table and go, oh no, just give her some cheese and crackers. That's all we deserve. You know, we don't even deserve to be called your children, you know. And wouldn't you go, what are you talking about? What you've been smoking. You're my kids. You're our kids. You pull up a chair to the table. Oh, well, I don't even know. Can we sit in that chair or can we just sit in the squat over here in the corner? No, you're part of the family. You know, we laugh at it, but yet we act like we're not a part of the family of God. He's got a banquet table. Now, we believe in that banquet table in heaven, but we don't know that he can spread a table in the wilderness and we're part of his family. I remember some years ago, we went on a vacation to the Bahamas and it was all arranged through this place called Adventure Travel. And that's back whenever there were travel agents that helped you. Now you do it all online. But so this is all arranged through them. And it said all inclusive. You know, that might be a good name for the Bible. Just put it on the front. All inclusive. Well, that's what this trip was. So I got the agent on the line, though, and I said, I got a question for you because I know I've been to places before and they said all inclusive, but it wasn't. You know, you had to have a whole bunch of extra dollar bills in your pocket for all the tips and all the extra stuff that you had to pay for. And I said, here's my question. If I come on this trip without a dime in my pocket, can I still go and can I still participate and be able to do all of these things at the resort that you said it's all inclusive? They said, yes, it's all there. Everything, you can have everything. I said, well, that means the buffet? They said, yep, the buffet. I said, how about snorkeling? Yep. Snorkeling too. How about riding the boat? Yep, riding the boat. I said, how about this? Playing golf. I bet that's not included. Yes, playing golf is included. I said, so everything is included. I don't have to bring a dime. They said, no, it's all included. Well, you know what? We could have just had a talk with Jesus in that same way. And Jesus saying it's all included. You mean healing? You mean salvation? You mean forgiveness? You mean favor? You mean blessing? That's kind of like the lady that went to the dollar store. And she said, how much is this? It's a dollar. Oh, okay, thank you. What about this? It's a dollar too. Lady, everything is a dollar. But in Jesus' store, it's not even a dollar store. It's the free store. It's all free. That's pretty hard to believe, isn't it? Yeah, you probably wouldn't even go into a building that said free on the front. How good could it be anyway, even if it was? Okay. So, yeah. So there's no doubt that we need help. And we need God's help. But sometimes we seek it the wrong way. By begging, whining, complaining. Somebody said prayer is a nice way of complaining. We make deals. Lord, if you'll just get me out of this, I'm going to go to church every Sunday. Yeah, we make deals. And some of our prayers, we just throw them up there and hope that maybe God reaches out and grabs mine to answer it. So rather think of it as this. It's all done. It's all free. It all belongs to you. Jesus' work is done, finished, complete. The last thing he said from the cross was, it is finished. That didn't mean, and it was not his way of saying his life is over. He's saying, everything that you sent me here to accomplish, I did it. It's all done. It's all finished. Nothing left to do. So there's nothing left for him to do. I want you to just think about that a minute. Because sometimes, don't you ask Jesus to do something for you in your prayers? Jesus, would you please just grant me? Wait a minute. There's nothing left for him to do. If it's finished, it's finished. He doesn't have to leave heaven to come and fix your car. He doesn't have to find you a parking spot. Believe me, I'm the kind that prays for a parking spot. I pull into a parking lot thanking God that one is already provided and it's free. And Lord, just let me add this one thing. Could it be in the shade? No, he doesn't have to leave heaven to do that. How about, would you like him to pay your bills? Have you ever asked for that? Or straighten out your kids? Well, here's a way to picture it. Picture a large warehouse in heaven. And it's got your name above the door. So you're not taking anything from anybody else. Your name is on the door. Would it be selfish and greedy of you to go in and carry out what you need? Y'all talk to me, because if the answer is yes, then I can't preach the rest of my sermon. Hey, we found out a way to get him to stop. Yes, that would be selfish and greedy. No, not if my name is above the door and nobody else can go in and get it. Yeah, but you know what? That's probably more than I need. I don't need all of that abundance. Wait a minute. You're not supposed to use it all selfishly. You use what you need and also share it with others. Yeah. That's why God blesses us, so we can bless other people. So it's not all to be used selfishly. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do less than you expect. Wait a minute. Well, that's my religious Bible. I'm sorry. It actually says more abundantly than all we ask or think. Another translation, more than you can imagine. That's what God will do. According to the power at work within us. Now, it didn't say he's going to come down from heaven, did he? Did the scripture say that? No. He's going to stay up there. But he's going to send the power to be at work in you. There's a pretty good prayer. Lord, I understand that there's a power at work in me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to make sure all of these things that Jesus died, rose again, and ascended for us to have, we would have it. The Holy Spirit makes sure of that. The Bible says he will take the things of mine and declare it to you. There you go. So sometimes in the middle of our prayer, the Holy Spirit might say, did it? It's already done. No, come on, give me something else. No, that's done too. Well, would you please? No, that's done. Did. Done. Okay, here's another one. I got two or three in a row here. 2 Peter 1:3-4. His divine power has granted to us a few things that pertain to life and godliness. What? All? A-double-L? And what does all mean? Oh, okay. All-encompassing? Total? All right. More than you can imagine? All right. So, did he say he will give us these things in heaven later? No. It's already done. Already belongs to you. It's in the warehouse waiting for you to pull it out. It says through a knowledge of him. So see, if you don't have a knowledge of him and what Jesus accomplished for you, if you don't have a knowledge of that, if you don't know there's a warehouse up there with your name on it, you'll never go in and draw anything out. So it's through a knowledge of him, nothing automatically. Nobody delivers it to your door. How many of you have had an Amazon package delivered? Yeah, okay. Oh, we actually have to go to the warehouse and pick this up. Doesn't take any faith just to pick up something off your front porch. It takes faith to draw it out of that warehouse. And it's a whole lot more stuff than Amazon has. Hey, I'm going to make a note. That's not even in my notes. I'm going to put that in there. Okay, here we go. Through his great and precious promises, that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Didn't say anything about Jesus having to leave heaven. All right, Ephesians 1:17. He's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We need a revelation. We need some knowledge. Most of us just kind of have this foggy understanding of prayer. And somebody told us, hey, God answers prayer. Did you know that there's no place in the Bible that says God answers prayer? Y'all are looking at me kind of skeptic. You're thinking, now I've seen that in there somewhere, Steve. I don't know where it is, so don't put me on the spot. But check it out. Here's what it does say. He answers the prayer of faith. He's not obligated to do everything you ask, but he will answer the prayer of faith. And you can't have faith for something that's not in the Word. So that's the built-in correction. That's God's safety net. Otherwise, you could say, I need a new car. God, send me a Cadillac. Well, there's provision in the Bible, isn't there? But there's no promise of a new car. Okay. I know y'all are disappointed in that one. So am I. Okay. Oh, where's my scripture? Yeah. A revelation and knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which you've been called. It's almost like saying, so you'll know everything that belongs to you in Christ Jesus. And it's the greatness of his power toward us. It's all toward us. Who believe? Didn't say everybody that goes to church. Everybody that needs something. God's just going to run around and do it because he knows you need it. No. Toward those who believe. So a powerful prayer is a scriptural prayer, praying over yourself and your circumstances, all the covenant privileges and promises that have already been paid for. Now, if it hasn't been paid for, you're going to have to pay for that yourself. Don't ask God to mow your yard for you. I always say that. Some people would have God mowing their yard for him if they thought he would do it. No, you mow your yard. That's your responsibility. So, I know you're disappointed in that one too. But what has been paid for belongs to us. So, Jesus, now, here's a prayer we pray sometime. So, I'm not picking on you because I haven't heard any of you say this. I just know what some Christians say. Lord, I'm just putting everything in your hands. You don't have to put your hand up. I can see guilt written all over your face. We're just putting everything in your... All right, stop just a second. You might say, what's wrong with that? Here's the only thing that I've got against that. Jesus never prayed that way. Did he ever say, I'm just putting everything in your hands? No. Jesus had to walk it out. He had to speak. He had to touch people. He had to spend time with the Father so that he said one day, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only speak what I see the Father speaking. So he realized he needed to be a mouthpiece, the hands and feet of God, the heart of God, that the anointing might flow through him. So, everything wasn't in God's hands. Some things are in our hands. Got it? Okay. He prayed the promises back to God about what belonged to him as a son and a covenant keeper. Remember when he stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus? Did Jesus stand in front of the tomb and saying, well, here goes nothing. Give it the old, cross your fingers. I'm kind of on the spot here. Everybody's watching. No, didn't say that. He didn't say, oh, please, God, I'm going to make a deal with you here. If you'll just come through on this one. No. He said, I thank you, Father, that you always hear me. Wow. Now, how could he say that so confidently? Because he spent lots of nights, all night long, praying, getting his assignment. Think of prayer not so much as obtaining something, but getting an assignment for the day. Okay, God, here I am. I'm showing up. Let's do this together. I want to be your mouthpiece. I want to be your hands today. I want to be the heart that you love people through me. Jesus never said, I wish I knew what to do. I wish I could help you, but oh well, I'm turning everything over to God. Good luck. In Jesus' ministry on earth, he didn't pray that God would do something. He did it using God's power. Y'all mad at me yet? Okay. A little bit. All right, I was expecting that. He did it using God's power. Jesus spent time in prayer determining what the will of God was, then went out and did it. So have you needed an answer to some need? And during the night, you got a word about what to do? You can go ahead and raise your hand on this one. Haven't you? I have. I mean, not all the time, but many times. God didn't come and fix it. You just got a revelation of what to do using his wisdom, using his power. That's how it works. So here's old creature versus new creature. Old creature prayers are designed to get God to do something we want him to do. So we beg God, we persuade, we make deals. God, could you take care of this list? Here it is. I know you're a prayer answering God, so... And you'll do anything. No, Jesus didn't answer prayers like that. He didn't ask for what he was already anointed to do. Remember whenever he picked up the book of Isaiah and he said, I am anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, proclaim the acceptable year to the Lord. He knew what he was anointed to do. He spent time in prayer thanking God for supplying all of his needs and backing him up. This is Becky's Kindle. It doesn't. I do like this in it sometimes. I'm blaming you, Becky. All right. Oh, there we go. So God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. He'll give you the power to do it. That's how you have the most fun in this life anyway. You get in on what God is doing. God, you know, Jesus never told his disciples, stand back. Y'all watch me do it, but don't you try to do this. This is out of your league. No, just the opposite. He said, now you've seen me do it. Now I'm sending you out two by two. You heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out the demons. I showed you how to do it. Now you go do it. I won't be with you always. You're going to have to do it on your own. But you'll be using out God's power, but you'll be on your own, and you have to learn how to trust God yourself. So, all right, I see you got it there. Some old creature prayers are, Lord, be with us. And then God said, I am. go with us. I'm right here. God, send your healing. Already did. I beg you, God says, I receive it by faith. The point is, we're not beggars, we're believers. So he did what he saw his father doing. God didn't have to come down from heaven and intervene. Jesus acted in his place. He said what the Father was saying. He did what the Father was doing. So, if Jesus was still here, Jesus did what God would do if he were a man walking around on the earth. So, we're supposed to do what Jesus would do if he were still physically walking around on the earth. Now, the truth is, he is walking around on the earth in another body, the church, us. So, he's continuing his ministry in another body. Ephesians 1:20 says that God seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that's named, not only in this age, but ages to come. Okay. Wow. What's the key word there? I think I've got it underlined. Seated. You know, if I asked any of you to do something right now, you know what you'd tell me? I'm sitting down. I'm not getting up. Hey, you're standing up. Why don't you go do it? Especially when I get in my recliner at home. Oh, my goodness. That thing tilts back. Just the perfect angle. Schaefer, my dog, jumps up in my lap, sprawls out across. Becky said, hey, would you come help me pick this up in the kitchen? I say, I can't do it right now. Later. Okay, and then Ephesians 2:6 says, and he raised us up with him and seated us. I'll tell you what, if that doesn't knock your socks off, it ought to at least roll them up and down. What? We need to dwell on that for a minute. No, I can't. We've got to eat here in a little bit. Okay. You can dwell on it later, all right? Seated us with him in heavenly places. Oh, you mean when we go to heaven, we're going to be seated? No, no. It's already happened. Yeah. We're seated with him. He has authority. We have authority. Seated with him. So it's another dimension. It's the dimension of authority, the dimension of faith, the dimension of ministry. Colossians 3 says, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. What things might that be? The things that pertain to God. Things that are in your warehouse, wisdom, light, understanding, giftedness, all of these things that are above. Where Christ is seated, still seated, I don't find anywhere after he ascended to the right hand of the Father that he's doing anything but sitting at the right hand of God. So he says, so you get used to it. That's where he is, and that's your place too, seated with him. And not on the earth. Temporal things. Things that are passing away. So, this is new creature language. Paul is expecting the church folks to realize their new creation position in Christ and then pray from that position. Got it? That's your position. Right now. Right up there next to Jesus. So, our new creature status teaches us to pray from heaven. Why? We're seated up there. So instead of praying from earth to heaven, now we can pray from heaven to earth. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, pray this way, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you know how it is in heaven? Because you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So you just look around. Hey, what's going on up here? How about the will of God? Jesus, what did you do on earth? What are you continuing to do? Look around, get some information, get a revelation, get some knowledge. Then pray that way. Lord, the way things are up here, where you reign, I pray that they would be that way right down here on earth. There's that part of the Lord's Prayer. So, here's a good new creature prayer. God, I thank you that everything I need for life and godliness has already been provided through Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. I understand grace has been given to impart everything that Jesus died and rose again for me to have. There you go. All right, now here's a good new creature acknowledgement. This isn't just a church folks acknowledgement. This is a new creature understanding your new status in Christ. God, I am a new covenant believer. I am standing on all the covenant promises that belong to me through Jesus' shed blood. They exist for me now, not in the future. Future will take care of itself. I just added that. And I access them by faith. Thank you for what you have accomplished for me and what you're doing in this present moment through your grace and your power working in me. So here we go. Get this revelation. Jesus completely vanquished the forces of hell. In the spiritual realm, now he expects us to declare that victory in the physical realm. It's all done in the spiritual realm. Look around, you say, well, I don't see all the forces vanquished out right down in here. There's lots of evil going on the earth. Didn't Jesus take care of all that? Yes, he did. In the spiritual realm, now then, he's going to get it done in the physical realm. And that's going to take a while. We've got a big job ahead of us. It's all been settled in heaven, but it hasn't yet been settled on the earth. Hebrews 8:1 says, we have a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. There you go. Here he is again, seated. Just a quick note, in the earthly temple, remember the tabernacle that was out there in the wilderness and they set it up? Priest would go in and he would make the sacrifice and do everything just right. He better make sure he did it. You know what? He would have first take care of his own sins before he could approach the Holy of Holies. He made sure that was all covered. Had to do it right. But in the earthly temple, there was no place for the priest to sit. No place for him to sit. His work was never done. He had to go and do it all over again next year. Hope it was all done right. And all the people go, when they see the priest come out of that tabernacle, they go, thank you, Lord, we're covered for another year. So, don't close your... Well, I'm going to skip that. Skip that part there. That kind of goes off a little bit. So, pray powerfully. Find out what exists for you already, and then thank God for what he has provided. Thank you, Lord. That healing belongs to me. I receive it into my body. That's a good way to pray for yourself when you're hurting. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave me nor forsake you. Thank you, Lord, that you have made provision for all my needs. Now, we're going to go through these real fast. New creature declarations. Got them there, so you don't get ahead of me too much. I have everything that pertains to life and godliness. You surround me with favor. You go before me in battle. You are for me, not against me. You're working all things out for my good. You're the giver of every good and perfect gift. Wisdom, favor, honor belong to me. I'm more than a conqueror. Keep on going. The same life that was in Jesus is in me. I'm anointed, filled, favored, equipped, forgiven, gifted, declared, righteous, worthy, chosen, filled with love, seated with Christ in heavenly places. I am commissioned and authorized to continue the ministry of Christ on earth. So, hey, we are commanded, aren't we, to come before the throne of grace boldly? Yeah. Then we're in a place to pray boldly, confident prayers, just like Jesus did. Don't pray from your circumstances, pray from your position in Christ. Okay, skip over that. Let's go to Jesus' checklist. We'll run through these real fast, but they're really good. So, grab onto a few of them, or I can make this available to you, maybe through the website. Here's Jesus' checklist. Remember he said it's finished? Okay, so just before he died, this is in my mind, he's going through his checklist. Atonement for sin, forgiveness, redemption, establishment of the new covenant, law fulfilled, defeated the devil, provided an inheritance, adoption as sons and daughters, keep going, Holy Spirit sent, earned all authority, brought salvation, revealed the Father, demonstrated the kingdom, given a name above every name, given the mind of Christ. We have access to the Father. This is all his checklist. All right? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You want a few more? Jesus is the head of the church. He destroyed death, made us new creatures, counted as righteous, brought grace and truth, never leaves us or forsakes us, calls us family, redemption complete, abundant life, captive set free, by his stripes we are healed, made a high priest forever, seated at God's right hand, we are seated with him, promises of God are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Hey, can I add anything to that? Any way I can make it better? I could spend a lot of time just going through that checklist and saying, what? What? And you did all of that for me? Jesus is up in heaven right now, on his throne seated. And you know what I think he's doing? Yes. But I'm a sign that he's making as he's looking down on this senior, this senior service today. It's this. Yeah, pretty arrogant. Yeah, preaches a sermon, God's up in heaven going, I would just love to see that. All right. God bless y'all for listening so patiently. Okay, well, let's have a prayer. And we're going to take some of your prayer requests and we'll also pray for the food.